I'm Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor of Penn State Barron, and you are listening to Barron Talks. My guest today is Cindy Wu, a senior nursing student here at Barron and the winner of the 2023 Ralph Dorn Hetzel Memorial Award, which recognizes scholastic achievement, good citizenship and participation, and leadership in student activities. And it's a big-time award, so congratulations on receiving that, Cindy, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. And before we get into the discussion, I'm going to give a little bit more background about you. You are an international student originally from China. You serve as our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Chair for the Barron Student Government Association. You are president of the Lion Entertainment Board, which organizes events for students and has worked with the South Asian Student Organization and the Global Eats Program. You are a Lion Scout for our admissions office, and a member of the Multicultural Council, and an assistant in the International Student Service Office. You do a lot here, but there's just even a little more for me to go through. And this is all a good thing. You're always a happy face to see here on campus, involved in everything. But you raise money. This is really significant for Thon this year, our well-known Thon, by running 12 miles and biking 45 miles during the two-day show. So again, welcome here to Barron Talks.
Thank you.
An impressive list of accomplishments. But let's start with a little bit, you know, about your background. You're a graduate of Padua Franciscan High School, and that's over in Parma, Ohio, not all that far away. But what's interesting is that before that, you studied in Switzerland and Beijing. So you've moved a lot of places in the world. And at least from my experience and observing you and working with you while you're here at Barron, seem to thrive on these new experiences. So just tell us a little bit about moving around the world and how you got here.
So I started off studying abroad in Switzerland, the German-speaking part, and it was a different experience, I have to say, than the high school that I've went to back home. And it took me a little bit to adjust and to, I say, also keeping up with grades, because I don't know German at all when I decided to study abroad. Mm-hmm. So figuring out language and getting to know the country, the culture a little bit, it took me a couple months. However, on the other hand, I have a very supportive host family, mm-hmm. and they helped me a lot during the process, and we had a lot of fun. So after my year of study abroad, because I was enrolled in a public exchange student program. So the rule is like you can stay in one country for a year. However, the next year you have to switch countries. So originally I was going to France. I'm not going to lie, but
you wanted France, huh?
I kind of loving the culture a little bit after my year in Switzerland. And then there was an incident in, I think it was like in front of the French Parliament, a bridge somewhere, and my mom was like, you are not going. I was like, I fill out all the applications. She's like, no, you're not going. And so I kind of made a last minute decision to look into the programs that's still open, was in the little program that I'm in, and I came here.
Well, you know, tell us a little bit though, did you learn German while you were in Switzerland? You said it was a struggle, but did you pick up any German? Or could you make it through with enough English?
I definitely have to pick up German. Well, it was fun definitely studying another language, because I feel like another language is always a different way of thinking, and also blending in with different culture perspectives. So like German, the sentence structure is very fixated. You have to put verb on the second place. So it kind of gives you a little window into the culture and everybody's kind of
right, their thought process and their thinking behind it. And you end up with these words and sentences that are very, very long.
Definitely.
And well, let's talk though. Did you make friends there? Were you able to build connections while you were there?
I did. My entire class was very flexible and very accepting. Not sure if that's the right word.
No, accepting, absolutely.
Accepting, yeah. And it was a really nice experience. I decided during my year in Switzerland, I decided to take this kind of advanced level of math class. And we were just having fun with some spheres, with some calculations. And I just really loved hanging out with my group. And yeah.
Well, you're really active here on campus, as I said earlier, a presence that we often see here. And I think, presence is the right word. And you've become extremely active in extracurricular activities, student leadership. Why did you gravitate towards this in such a large way here at Penn State Barent?
So first thing is, I guess after my first 2 years of study abroad, something I did learn is that you are your best advocate because you know yourself the best, you know what you need the most. So a lot of the times I tend to, when I see something that I where I see something different that I feel that could be better, I tend to get into a little mode of me just trying to think of ways of improvement, of betterment. And so to begin to get involved, it's a idea of kind of socialization to begin with, because it was the year after COVID and everyone's kind of sticking to their rooms for a while. And so I really want everyone to get back to the environment, to socialize, to have fun again, even though we're still have masks on our faces. But then as I am getting more and more involved, I talked to everyone and I started to seeing something that could be better here on campus. So I started to get involved into more things, like such as student government and trying to make a change.
I think you had great wisdom there. We're going to remember that. You are your best advocate, and that was a perfect way to say it. So you got here before COVID. Just your first year was when COVID hit. Is that correct?
Yes, so I was here. I had a perfectly normal fall semester, and then spring semester after spring break, we got sent home.
Okay, so you've seen it now. You saw the whole cycle from leaving to the being apart for a long period of time. So would you say, have we recovered in terms of student activities and engagement, or do we have further to go? And I'd be absolutely honest in this because, what do we have to do to get the culture and campus back up to where it used to be?
So when I was a freshman, I enjoy events very much, especially our late night events hosted by the Lion Entertainment Board. And I had so much fun at PennU, and I was like, that's wonderful. And then COVID hit, and I eventually decided to take kind of a revive Lion Entertainment Board, LEB. And throughout the time that we're doing events, we're trying our best to do some creative ideas to get people to come back out and to do some more things. Like last year, we brought in bumper cars. Not too long ago, we did dipping dots. And so we're trying to do a lot of more innovative things, brought people back out into campus, kind of draw people out again. I would say it's still not exactly that what I'm seeing when I was a freshman. However, I'm seeing a great increase of attendance at events, of everybody having fun. So I would say we are doing pretty good and still have a little bit to go.
I think that's a fair assessment, and I would agree with that. This semester, we've got the opening of the new Erie Hall,
Definitely.
and that's just become such a big centerpiece. You see a lot of people
Yeah.
engaged, and I would say with our student activities, we have to teach some of the students who came here during COVID how to run organizations and the like, and that'll take
Indeed.
some time. But by the way, have you been able to use Erie Hall?
I have. I usually take my tours through here, and I won't admit that I'm not a very athletic person. However, I did had a little taste of Erie Hall, and I think it's fabulous.
Well, you don't have to be athletic to go, right? We've got yoga rooms and
Yes,
all sorts
indeed.
of fun activities there too. So obviously athletics, fitness is part of it, but we define that pretty broadly, so.
Definitely.
Well, let's back up a little bit and talk about your path to the United States. How did you end up in Ohio?
So my program that I was in gave me a little bit of a choice of broadly where I can be at. And a lot of the options are located in the East Coast and West Coast. However, I had a couple trips into the United States to both of the coasts, and I feel like I kind of know the culture a little bit more there, and I want something different. So I just chose Midwest, and the area Padua is one of the school that has a strong connection with the program, so they recommended me there. And I was like, okay, sounds great. Catholic school sounds very interesting. We'll see how we do. So I ended up there.
No, good for you. And so what was your first experience like in the quote Midwest in Ohio?
For my first thing that actually shocked me when I get over here is because I feel like Switzerland is a good year of in between China and here because it's kind of a school style that's like in the middle. Because back home we don't walk to class, we stay in the same room and wait for the teachers to come to us. And we have, how to say, we're more focused in classes. We don't do a whole lot of discussions. We don't do a whole, it's more like academic work. But Switzerland is kind of like an in between. And then I get over here, it's more discussion. It's more of thinking, more like, what's your opinion? What's your salt? And especially to like to graduate, I have to take American government and a Catholic school. I was taking theology, and I was like, this is all very interesting. And I was like, I feel like I learned a lot during that year.
Well, so then what brought you to Penn State Barron? How did you find us?
Before I actually came to the States, I actually want to be a computer engineer. And well, a lot kind of happened in between, and I'm kind of in the period of trying to find a new interest. And my high school in Ohio had this program called MadTrack, and they introduced me in a way to nursing. And I was like, this is awesome. And so I was graduating, looking for a good nursing school in the area because I kind of don't want to go really far because I have a really nice host family. And I went online on just some searches and I saw a video of the nursing simulation lab over here. And I was like, this looks amazing. And I put in applications, I eventually came here.
I will tell you something about those simulation labs. And when I watch the simulations, they scare me. They scare me in how realistic they are. There's something a little bit, too real and about it. And I'm sure you've had a lot of experience in our simulation labs.
They are. Well, we say that what happens in simulation stays in simulation, so I kind of can't get specific examples, but I will have to say every time, because before every simulation, you will get a prep sheet, so you kind of know what a scenario that you will be walking into, but sometimes it's still a surprise when you're actually there because it's to a lot of us, it's either we've never, for example, seen a patient having a seizure before, or we never actually walk into the room to be actually the one in charge of doing things. So it's just, you always have this moment of kind of blankness in your mind that takes a moment for you to actually realize, okay, what I need to do next. And after simulation, however, when you actually see that scenario in the hospital, it does help a lot on like between that to get over that reaction time that you actually need to be actually starting to do things.
Well, you've coined another term. What happens in nursing simulation stays in simulation. That's a great one. But as you know, you led right into my next thought. So you start in simulation, but you end up doing a significant number of clinical rotations. And in fact, you worked at St. Vincent, UPMC Hammett, St. Mary's. So what'd you do there? See all different areas?
I had the most amount of clinical at St. Vincent, especially in their cardiac neuro ICU. And ICU is indeed my interest of nursing that I want to go into. So starting off, it's always more like observatory because it takes a minute to build a level of trust with your preceptor and kind of for them to start letting you to get to know your ability and letting you doing things. So for me, it took a little bit to do that. So I did my externship there and I just finished my practicum over there. And I had different preceptors and every different preceptor kind of teach you a little bit more of the industry. And meanwhile, during my time, because ICU nurses does a lot of tasks, sometimes nurses on the floor actually delegate. So I get to work on my basic nursing skills, of like task skills, and in the meantime, assessments are also something that I get to work on a whole lot, because we really do a good job monitoring our patient at least every hour. A lot of times it's every 50 minutes because we're just right there and we're just watching our patients like a hawk, as one of my preceptors says. So it's great practice experience, and I still can't believe that I'm actually graduating in
two weeks away. You will be out there. Well, any scary moments when you were in your clinicals that you can speak about?
There is actually, this happened like actually 2 weeks ago. So usually you start your morning by getting a report from last shifts of nurse, and we're like, this patient is struggling a little bit on oxygen, but he's doing fine. He's just, his more priorities is like his pain in the stomach. I was like, okay, fine, sounds great. And I walk into the room, the patient is complaining of 10 out of 10 pain, so extreme pain, and then his oxygen status is at 85%. I was like, oh no. So first thing in the morning, it was like 7 a.m. and I was like, okay, this is waking me up really well. And the entire day, me, my preceptor, the nurse, the patient is actually assigned to, we're just working really hard trying to get his oxygen status up. And eventually he has to be transferred into the ICU because how much oxygen that we're using trying to help him. He needs more closer monitoring. But it was a hectic morning.
Well, you know, everyone appreciates what nurses do, and it's so important. And let's go back and talk a little bit about the curriculum. And, you know, one of the things that we know and we all talk about here on campus is our nursing students are busy and they are hard workers. It's a challenging curriculum. You have clinicals. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what did you see in your experience here in your classes and the curriculum at Barent?
Sounds great. So freshman year, I started doing some anatomy and physiology classes in labs, and psychology along with some kind of developmental courses. It gives me an idea of, I feel like psychologically what my patient is actually going through, which helped me a lot at the beginning when I going into my sophomore year for my first clinical. My sophomore year, our professors got really innovative because it was COVID time and they can't do what they usually do, put us all in a skills lab and teaching us all the basic skills of nursing. So what they actually did is they sent a lot of the, it's like a little kits of like materials that we need to buy and to kind of make our own training model. I remember that I have this styrofoam head that you can actually get from Walmart that I used to practice putting an NG tube into. And I remember later during the sophomore year, I was carrying the head because I had a simulation. I was walking out on this path on campus and I scared someone with that. Like, I didn't do it intentionally, but just walked by me and he kind of just suddenly saw that head and he was like startled. I was like, sorry. But we got really innovative and we get to practice, well, like in normal time practice, putting in an NG tube, putting in our urinary catheters into our patients. And sophomore year, the second half of the second semester, we actually get into nursing homes to be actually doing our clinicals. And I feel like, because at first it's kind of a little bit not knowing what to do, because this is actually a patient, not like words on the textbook in front of me. So it took me a while to kind of adapt into it, and you actually get to take care of your patient, making sure that they are okay with their daily living kind of activities, or okay brushing their teeth, they get clean in the morning, they're getting their breakfast. It was a really nice experience, and we actually did a lot of assessment skills in the course. That was really helpful because in the hospital, we kind of fill it out differently, whereas in nursing homes, you actually take the time to assess and actually put them in paper onto your records. In the hospital, you mainly just click, 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 and it automatically gives you the numbers and tells you what else that you need to do. And then junior year, we're doing our med-surg, which is like general nursing course. It was a really hard course, I have to admit. And there was a period of the semester, it just feels like no matter how hard I am studying, there has to be a piece of information there that I missed. And so it took a little bit to adjust the way I am learning things, I'm taking notes, to be actually more fitting into the course. And it's actually our first real nursing course. So it was kind of a hectic semester, and it passed really fast, along with like pharmacology and geriatrics. It's definitely a semester that took a lot of brain cells. Second semester kind of got very interesting though. We actually get to work with pregnant moms and babies, and some of our pediatrics clientele. It was very interesting to me because different clientele, you kind of get a different reaction, and some of the kids are having they can't really tell you much about their symptoms, so you really need to rely really heavily on your assessment skills. So it was a good practice round. Yeah.
You have to take something called the NCLEX exam, right?
Yes.
And do you take that this summer? Is that correct?
Yes, I'm hoping to take it. So the earliest usually we can take it is around middle of June.
For those who don't know, that is the National Licensing Exam for Registered Nurses.
Yes.
I'm sure you're going to do great.
I thank you, first of all, but I just sometimes feels a little bit nervous. And
as you should.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of information to go over. However, our program does a really good job to get us prepared, because all of our exams are on this software that actually mimicking the real testing scenario of NCLEX, and our questions, because the NCLEX is actually, so fun fact, it's getting into a new generation. It's now called Next Gen NCLEX. So we have new question formats and everything, and this entire year our professor is adjusting the questions and actually giving us a lot of examples of the next gen questions. So give us an idea of what we're facing in about 2 months. And I myself is very grateful for that, because it's kind of shocking to me that it was like, okay, this is my year of taking NCLEX, and it's changing.
Yes.
Because we're going to be the first year that actually facing the change. But we're doing a whole lot to be prepared for it, and
our students generally do very well. So
definitely.
Let's switch just a little back to the work you do in Student Government Association. You were chair of the DEI Initiatives Committee and Programming, and you know, tell us how you've used your voice and influence on DEI initiatives.
So this is actually my second year holding this position. During my first year, I focused a lot on promoting kind of a more culturally acceptive environment on campus. I did some cards that actually, I think of it as like a window of how to ask some questions that may be a little bit difficult to answer because of cultural differences, or because of, how to say, you're not sure of the past experience and what it actually means to the person that you're talking to. So I did some cards on that, and we did some cultural events, and almost towards the end of my first year holding the position, we had this problem coming up is the disability buttons. They are a good resources for our students with disability because it makes it easier for the doors to open and for them to get through campus. And however, they have a high breakdown rate.
Yeah,
so we kind of
failure rate, yes.
Yeah. We did an investigation of kind of why they're malfunctioning, and I get to witness some hostility towards the buttons during my time on campus. So I had this idea of actually doing a little sticker to put next to the buttons. However, like to find a right material, it took us a long time because Erie's weather it's very cold in winter, and I kind of don't want it to be, okay, we spend so much time and money on it, and then in the wintertime, it's gone because of the weather, because of the cold. And so we did a lot of searches. Initially, we had this idea of doing paper, but material, kind of sustainability wise, it's just not gonna work out. And I was kind of frustrated by it. But fortunately, because it was towards the end of the year, but fortunately, I was able to hold the position again my second year. So I kind of worked on the project all over again. And we were able to actually find a material. It's a 3D sticker that is multiple layers, so it kind of gives a good stick. In the meantime, it's scratch proof. It does a lot of different things. And so we started to putting them around campus and kind of testing it out. Some of the outside surfaces is still a little bit hard for it to stick, but we are seeing some improvement on the buttons condition, so that's fantastic.
Well, we appreciate it. And so at least you're getting some feedback that what you're doing is helping people with disabilities.
Indeed, I didn't realize how much of a hassle it is to get around campus from the perspective of a student with disability until I actually did a tour with a family. The dad of the family is actually on an electric wheelchair, and I realized that I need to detour my tour for at least half an hour to just to find the additional buttons, the elevators, so that everyone can get around. And at the moment, it was just a moment of me realizing, okay, I'm actually doing something useful. And it's a rewarding moment.
Well, our campus is built in a hill. Not completely, but a lot of the part we sit in right now, just behind us, you can see that. And it presents a lot of challenges. And you saw them firsthand. And you did something to make it better.
Trying my best.
Let's switch to your work on the Lion Entertainment Board. It was defunct, and I think you brought it back to life. Is that true?
I
You hope that
hope it,
that was right. So and
I'm
that was a big
hoping.
endeavor.
Indeed. At first it was my junior year at the Yeah, I my the beginning of my junior year, I walk into this event. It was glow in the dark golf ball. It's like a glow in the dark mini golf, and there was only two people there. There was Ashley Kaminsky, which is her first year being on campus and actually hosting events, and her night building assistant Sam. And I was like, do you guys need any help? Because I just feel really bad. This is a lot of equipment and just the two of you guys to be there. And so I kind of started off there and I was just helping out at events. And a couple weeks later, Ashley asked me if I would like to help her to revive the club. I was like, sure. It will be a joy to do that because I've been to so many Lion Entertainment Board's events when I was a freshman. I would love to see it to come back to campus. And so it just happened like that, and we're here today.
So, any particular events stand out? Like one big accomplishment from that, or some event that came out that sticks in your mind the most?
So the first thing always comes to my mind is Pink Eel, because that's my first
Oh,
literally
yeah.
big event here at Barron's, and it's my what kind of meaningful the most to me. And we're able to bring it back, and we did it in the baseball field earlier in the year, and everyone's having a blast time. You see everyone having the t-shirts still, sometimes walking on campus, so it was wonderful. And we started to do something new as well. So this past 2 years, we did a winter formal. So it's kind of becoming a
Okay.
new tradition now, our annual winter formal. And we had a lot of students from different clubs and organizations. They bring in their friends as well. And we always have a big blast. We have a theme every year. The first year, I think it's like Alice in the Winter Wonderland, something like that. And the second semester, we actually did New York City. So we actually used dark lights and block
Oh, very
everything.
nice.
And it was a really nice city vibe. So we try our best to create a great theme and environment for everyone to have a great time. And that's what we do.
Okay. Now I'm going to hit you with a few quick questions. We'll call it the lightning round. Okay.
Sounds great.
Favorite class?
Nursing. If I have to pick in nursing, a med surg.
Okay. Favorite teacher?
That's hard.
Put you on the spot. You can name a few.
I love Dr. Strive. She is the director of the
Yeah.
program, and I also, because of me doing my externship, I had a lot of interaction with her, and I love her so much. And Dr. Rains. Dr. Rains is actually our med surg professor, junior year and senior year, and she is actually the one got me into ICU nursing because she actually is a critical care nurse, and in her class, she uses her clinical experience as examples, what she's seeing in ICUs, and that's kind of what got me into ICU nursing.
And that's a hard question. It's not fair because all of our nursing faculty are so caring
They
and
are
great.
so
So they all
awesome.
deserve to be called out. So then, how about you? What's your most memorable moment on campus? Is there one thing that stands out to you?
Most memorable moment. It will have to be MCC. So sorry,
Yeah,
but
Multicultural Council for
Multicultural
those.
Council.
Sure.
I love gala so much, and one moment that always sticks in my mind is last year when I won the superlative of most likely to get ticketed at 30. I was like, "Thank you very much." so it's a moment I remember just laughing nonstop and on my way of getting it, and it's just a moment sticks in my mind.
Well, MCC is a just tremendously active group, and all of their events are high energy, so not surprising.
Definitely.
Well, what's next for you after graduation?
So before this week, I will say for sure that I am planning on staying in Erie and working at EPMC Hammett as a cardiac critical care nurse. However, I did get some news this week, so there might be some changes to that. We'll see how it eventually goes, but
Okay, you
yeah.
don't have to say. So there's some, what you're saying is you have opportunities, and that's a good thing, and not
Definitely.
surprising at all. Okay, what will you miss about your time here at Barent?
I miss the. I feel like I will miss the, first of all, the close-knit relationship that we actually have with everyone. And I love all the support and love from my advisors, my counselors, my bosses actually on campus, and especially my friends on the campus. I feel that's definitely something I will miss the most because just 4 years here, you're able to build such a good relationship with everyone, and it's a little bit sad to think that I'll actually be leaving.
We are a close-knit community.
Definitely.
Well, this has been a wonderful conversation, and I appreciate it. I'm Dr. Ralph Ford, and thank you for joining us here on Barron Talks today. And my guest has been our nursing student, Cindy Wu, senior nursing student who is graduating in just 2 weeks from now. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.